This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
Food and travel, they go hand in hand. And chances are, if you're a fan of Heritage Radio Network, you love them both. Between April 10th and 24th, we have 6 incredible food and travel experiences up for auction at charitybuzz.com. Go on an underground food tour of New Orleans with a rocket scientist. Get your hands on VIP passes to Feast Portland, or enjoy a ranch-to-table experience in wine country. 4 of the experiences include hotel stays at some of the most iconic properties across the country, including the newly reopened Hotel Claremont in Atlanta. Now's your chance to win the ultimate Bourbon and Beyond weekend in Lexington, or take in a Latin food tour of New York's outer boroughs. You'll eat, drink, explore, and relax, all while supporting Heritage Radio Network. Help us keep the lights on and the mics hot. Go to heritageradionetwork.org/auction and bid now.
Welcome to HRN Happy Hour. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, and somewhere is Bushwick. I'm Kat Johnson, the communications director here at Heritage Radio Network. And as always, I'm joined by my host, Katie Mosman-Wadler, our executive director. Hi, Katie.
Welcome.
I'm glad to hear that you're sounding more like yourself this week.
Yes, yes. If you guys listened last week, I was having some voice modulation problems. Might have sounded a little like more, you know, deep than normal.
I think it's the best you've ever sounded, to be quite honest.
I think I sounded a lot better last week also.
Yeah, agreed.
Thanks to our alter egos for filling in for us last week, David and Hannah.
You're welcome.
Appreciate having you guys back.
I still don't know what you're talking about, but whatever, I'll take it.
Well, we're always glad to have you, David. And we have our wonderful Margaret Kelly joining us in the studio today as well. Welcome, Margaret.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Yeah. And as always, we already said David, but he's in the booth making us sound good.
Yep.
And making himself sound better.
Oh, what a great audience.
Getting the
what
most
a great
applause
audience.
Out
Thank
of
you.
All of us.
They're always so good to me. I don't get it, but you know, I'll take it.
So this is the last week of the HRN 2018 winter and like early spring season.
No, it's winter.
Bye, winter.
It's definitely still
Goodbye,
winter.
Bye, winter.
Bye, forever.
Maybe winter was just waiting for us to finish our season and finally say goodbye. And at this point, winter, you can go away. Thank you.
Bye.
So this is our season finale, and we don't have any guests in the studio today, but we are going to have a special call-in guest. And then we're going to share some of our highlights from the year so far, and we have a few other announcements.
So that's right. We are really excited to be talking about a very special event next week, and we have a really special guest on the line. So we are talking about the 2nd Annual International Symposium on Bread, which is taking place next weekend in Charlotte, April 26th through 28th. And we are delighted to have joining us by phone Peter Reinhardt, who's the chef on assignment at Johnson & Wales University, where the symposium will take place. Peter, are you with us?
I am.
Thank you so much for being on the line today for HRN Happy Hour. We're glad to have you back.
Yeah, thanks, Peter. I love bread.
Feels like deja vu. Ah.
Well, in case anyone missed our coverage of the Bread Symposium last year, can you give just a very quick overview of what's going on with the symposium and who it's for?
Well, what we're trying to do is to bring together thought leaders from all the different segments of the bread world, because bread is a vast subject and it's controversial and it drives deep into our hearts and souls. And there's people that represent all facets, from the mass-produced bread to the artisan small-batch breads, and everyone's trying to feed the world. And we want to get people in the same place to have stimulating conversations and to hear presentations by thoughtful people who have been doing research or focusing on specific areas. So we have 10 speakers over 2 days, kind of like a TED conference, so to speak, where they do short, incisive talks, and then we have conversation and discussion.
And what makes Johnson & Wales an amazing place to host the symposium?
Well, Johnson & Wales is, as some people know, the world's largest culinary school, and we have branches in Providence, in Miami, in Denver and in Charlotte, where I'm based. And what's one of the things that we take a lot of pride in is that we probably have the most decorated bread faculty of any institution in the world. We've got a number of internationally known bread bakers, award winners, authors, a lot of published, you know, sort of bread experts. So it's become an area that we've focused on and have attracted a really top-notch faculty to specifically, you know, teach this aspect of the culinary world. In addition to everything else we cover, we've just got a strong team. So we felt like we were the logical people to host a gathering like this. It is a university. It's not just a cooking school. So we felt like, you know, nobody's doing anything in the academic sphere. There's a lot of hands-on workshops on bread baking, but nobody's really taking it on as an academic approach. So this year, not only are we doing the 10 presentations, but we've added a couple of hands-on workshops as follow-ups to the presentations. One will be on sourdough, and the other will be on working with heritage grains and sort of the new generation local grains, sprouted grains, things like that. And these are sort of the future. In fact, that's the theme of the whole symposium, is the future of bread.
Awesome. Very cool. Peter, last year your very talented team of bakers made a really incredible sculpture out of bread. Can you describe what that was last year and if you're doing a similar one this year?
Yeah, it was really a very sort of dynamic piece. Harry P. Miller is one of my colleagues at the school. He teaches, he's kind of the lead bread instructor at the Charlotte campus, and he also represented the United States in the Culinary Bread Olympics a few years ago. There's an event called the Coupe du Monde. It's held every 4 years in Paris, and his area was the decorative category, so he created a bread sculpture for that event and won a silver medal globally. And then last year for the symposium, he contributed a custom-made piece that he did just for us, and it was because North Carolina is where the Wright brothers did their first flight, and the license plates in North Carolina always say first in flight. He used that as his inspiration, and he created kind of a tribute to the Wright brothers, the idea in a big bread sculpture telling the story of how an idea went from a bicycle shop to a reality. And the whole thing was made out of bread dough. So there was like a bicycle made out of bread dough. The spokes were made with pasta. The bike was kind of turned into and morphed into an airplane as sort of the piece unfolded. And so it appeared to be hovering in air. And I think it became almost an icon of last year's symposium. So he's decided to do another one this year.
Oh, my God.
And in fact, tomorrow, so cool. He's going to be putting it all together. I'm going to be actually filming him tomorrow, assembling it, and we'll have it up and running by next week when everybody comes and begin, because the North Carolina and Charlotte in particular is one of the homes of NASCAR. He's using the NASCAR theme as an inspiration, and he's built a race car out of bread dough that will again be sort of hovering in air, almost taking flight in its own right. And he says he's going to try to top last year's sculpture. We'll see.
I can't wait to see this, Peter. Last year, honestly, that was the first thing we saw when we walked into the auditorium, and it took my breath away, and it really appeared to defy gravity. And I know you guys had some additional challenges dealing with the varying humidity in the room, so maybe Harry will have some lessons learned and some kind of new techniques this year, too. So I look forward to seeing that video. I hope that that will be available. Will it be on social media for Johnson & Wales?
Yeah, we're gonna live stream the entire event in terms of each of the talks. We'll stop, you know, during the in between times, but we're gonna show those, and my guess is the camera will be focused on that sculpture during the in between time. So mm-hmm. Anybody who wants to live stream, I think you probably have the link on your site, but if you don't, people can write to us and we'll give them the live stream link and they can watch it in real time, and then in a few months, probably in a month after the event, we'll have our YouTube channel. All the talks will be archived there permanently so people can see anything that they missed. Although we'd love to have them come, because there's no substitute for being there in the middle of all that sort of dialogue and drama and energy.
And I have to say, there was a lot of bread.
And we'd love to have people come down for it.
Yeah, and there was a lot of bread to be eaten, which it's very difficult to listen to these sessions, I think, if you don't have some bread in your belly or in your hand. So I can really vouch for the importance of being there in person. And we will also be sharing those talks, of course, on our website. And we're really excited to have our team down there. And just briefly, I wanted to touch on the keynote speaker, who is, of course, a friend and a regular on Heritage Radio Network as well. You've got Nathan Myhrvold as the keynote this year. Is there any special detail you can reveal about his talk?
Well, we're really excited to have Nathan. Last year, before the book, the big Modernist Bread book, came out, we had his co-author, Francisco Magoya, on as one of our presenters. But now that the book is out there and everybody's seen it and it's pretty impressive, you know, we were lucky enough to be able to get Nathan because he's got a pretty crazy schedule. In fact, he's leaving right after his presentation. He'll be leaving to head to New York for the James Beard Awards, where the book's been nominated, you know, as the Bread Book of the Year or Baking Book of the Year. So all things are going his way. And what he's going to talk about, and we're giving him the lead slot, we're calling it the keynote. And the title of his talk is Rethinking Bread. And for anyone who's ever heard Nathan speak or read some of the articles about him, we know that he likes to sort of shatter myths, a little bit of an iconoclast. And so I think what he's going to do is talk about the things that his team learned during the 4 years that it took to put together the Modernist Breads. I'll call it an encyclopedia, for lack of a better word, because it's five volumes that are very meaty. Pretty much everything that you can think of about bread is in it. So he's going to share with us some of the things that they learned, and some of them may be quite surprising.
And Peter, will there be another book sale this year? Because that was something I really enjoyed at the last symposium, was meeting all the authors of these bread books. I was very delighted to have you sign a copy of The Bread Baker's Apprentice for me. You won a James Beard Award and an IACP Award for that. And there are tons of other amazing, amazing bread books. Will they be available as well at JWU next weekend?
Yes, our bookstore, the Johnson & Wales bookstore, is going to host a book table this year. In addition to Nathan and his books, that book will be available not for people to carry away,
yes,
because it weighs 60
if you
pounds,
can lift it,
but
wow,
they'll be able to actually buy it with a signed book plate by Nathan, mm-hmm, that they can, and then the book will be shipped to them if they decide to buy it, you know, there at the symposium. But another author that's coming this year is Stanley Ginsberg, who's written the book The Rye Baker, which is a fabulous sort of the go-to book on anything having to do with rye. And so Stanley's going to be, in a sense, our capstone speaker. He'll be closing the symposium, talking about overcoming the challenges of working with rye flour. And so his new book will be there. And then all of the authors who were there last year will be carrying their books again. Some of them have already been pre-signed. So we will have a nice collection of bread books. And also our bookstore is right across the street from the symposium, so people who want to do a little book shopping can go over there and look at categories beyond bread.
That sounds amazing. Well, Peter, thank you so much, the one and only Peter Reinhart, for joining us on HRN Happy Hour this week. I understand there are still a few tickets left for the symposium, and they can be found on Eventbrite. The dates, again, are April 26th through 28th. And we will be, of course, collecting recordings from the sessions that we'll post on our HRN on Tour channel. We'll be doing an Instagram takeover on Friday. And look out for links and content from our sites, but also check out Johnson & Wales University. And please look out for this incredible bread sculpture. I guarantee it will be something spectacular. So Peter, once again, thank you so much for joining us, and we're looking forward so much to next week, the symposium.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, and I can't wait to see you guys again next week. It was a lot of fun having you there last year, and we're just going to try to build on what we started.
Amazing. Well, thank you. Have a great evening, and we'll be there so soon.
Great. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye, everybody.
So last year at the symposium, I bought Peter's book, The Bread Baker's Apprentice, and I still haven't really baked anything out of it because I'm a little scared, but this is a thing I'm going to undertake soon. I'm going to try to learn how to bake, and I think his book is the one to do it with.
I think that that book is really like the actual bread textbook for a ton of culinary programs. I love it for just like really beautifully written instructions that like I think it just like gave me a lot of confidence, especially just around like things that are hard to really quantify about dough.
But a lot of pictures and step by step stuff.
Yeah, it's just like it's very beautiful. Also, there's you know, just I think something about like the bread community as a whole. It's so hands on and it's so inherently like built around sharing, like sharing Levon and sharing recipes and of course like breaking bread together with others. And
love
of
bread.
Course
there she is.
We couldn't make it through. I knew.
Waiting
I knew.
For that.
David's been bursting to play that clip.
Queen
what
O.
What was that?
Queen O.
What was that?
That was Oprah. President. That was Oprah Winfrey, who is just named to Time 100 today. Congrats, Oprah. She's listening.
As if she needed it. Like, she's like, I know you guys.
She's on to the next thing.
So that that is our kind of look to the future. The Bread Symposium next week. We're really glad to have another team there. Also, just like shout out to Charlotte because a few HRN folks are about to head your way. And heads up, Bob Peters and Colleen Hughes. I'm sure they will be checking in. Shai Farjian. And then I'm not sure exactly where they'll be dining yet, but I'm pretty sure Yafo Kitchen will factor in based on our strong recommendations. But Charlotte, yes. As we discovered, is really an awesome culinary destination and
very under the radar, but I would highly recommend if you are looking for somewhere to go eat well, Charlotte has you. Mm-hmm. If you're ever going to a NASCAR race.
Also, shout out to my mom named Charlotte. Love you, Mom.
Hi, David's mom.
Oh, that's cute. Well, next up, we wanted to pay our respects to a very important person in radio.
So as many of you, I'm sure, have heard, the radio legend Carl Castle passed away earlier this week. I know that I and probably many of our listeners and the people in this room grew up with Carl Castle's voice being ever present in our homes, in our cars. Castle was born in 1934 and got his start in radio when he was just 16 years old. He DJed for Late Night Music Show on his local station. And after going to the University of North Carolina and serving in the military, he moved to Northern Virginia to spin records before a friend persuaded him to take a job at a news station. So it's kind of a really great thing to imagine is Carl Castle spinning records. That just brought me a lot of joy. And it was in 1975 that he joined NPR as a part-time employee. And 4 years later, he announced the news of the first broadcast of a new show called Morning Edition, which is still going strong and very dear to our hearts. Over 3 decades, he became one of the network's most recognized voices. And his second act, which maybe came as a surprise for everyone who associated him with hard-hitting news, was that he got a chance to let his hair down as the official judge and scorekeeper on Wait, Don't Tell Me. And at the beginning of Wait, didn't have a budget for actual prizes for their game, so the prize was having Carl Castle record a message on their answering machine. We will certainly miss Carl Castle. He apparently recorded more than 2,000 messages. Oh.
They continued that tradition up until recently, right?
Yeah, that was still the prize. And we listened to a couple in the office yesterday, and they're so sweet. And he just has, like, the most soothing, lovely voice. So I feel like I will be tuning into NPR to hear some flashbacks of his career and an obituary for him. So we all owe a lot to Carl Castle and love him very much.
I want everybody to go to npr.org and check out the beautiful post that they did about Carl, but also scroll all the way down because you can play about 5 or 6 of some of his outgoing voicemails. And there's one where he sings like, he says, I'd like to sing you a little tune. And he sings like, what's up, pussycat? And then there's all these like very like funny, self-deprecating little voicemail messages, and it's just like incredibly charming and very sweet to get to hear that in his voice. And you know, it's just so much a part of like the beginnings of my understanding of radio and growing up and time in the car and at home. And
so
Carl, you'll be very much missed, but we really appreciate all you've done for public radio.
Yeah. Well, so next up, we want to talk a little bit. We normally do our HRN headlines on our show, but this week we're going to do it a little bit differently and look back at our whole season, our past season. So, Katie, do you want to talk about what your favorite episode or episodes of, you know, 2018 so far have been?
Yes, and I will say that my top pick for favorite episode got claimed when we were chatting about this in the office. So we might all have like some pretty similar favorites. And also, I do also have to say that it's really impossible to pick a favorite because
so many.
You know, podcast episodes, it depends so much on what kind of mood you're in and what you're going for. And so,
context.
You know, thinking about this, yeah. Thinking about this question, it was like kind of brutal, but I just thought about like what kind of mood I was in this afternoon and what I would want to listen to in that like headspace. And, you know, thinking back on a really full season, I mean, guys, we have 35 shows every week. So that times like roughly 12 is like, I can't do math right now because I'm really tired, but
it's a
like
lot,
almost 500. So it's really tough. But, what I was thinking about, like with a lot of warmth in my heart this afternoon, was the episode of The Line where Eli interviewed his brother Max.
Oh,
and it was just so such a good one because, you know, Eli's already a great interviewer on The Line, but it's like he always seems to know what question to ask when it's his brother, it's his twin brother, right?
No.
I'm kidding. We have so many twins at HRN.
Oh, I thought they were twins. Not identical, but...
I don't think they are.
His brother. We'll just say brother.
Yeah, I think
you're right. Yeah, because he did say my older brother. Yeah, so they're
cute, though. They're always finishing each other's sandwiches.
Aww.
Well, they're, like, roommates, and they work together, and, like, anyway, with Eli's already great interview style, but also knowing so much about Max,
it was
really, really good. And like he already kind of knew his whole life story, but I think they really conveyed like a lot about their own family. They talked about like their family Passover and a schmaltz fight that they had at summer camp, a chicken schmaltz
That's
fight.
Disgusting.
And,
that makes me feel weird.
Awesome. Well, I thought it was hilarious. And then, of course, Max was a chef here at Roberta's, and he talked about working with Carlo and like the very special magic of what makes Roberta's such an amazing restaurant and like the team culture that exists here. And also what I really love is, you know, Eli does chef interviews, but he really has a keen eye for the business side of things. And then, you know, the really practical parts of the episodes where he's, you know, asking questions about starting up a restaurant business and like his guests and especially Max are always really generous about sharing great advice for other new restaurants or existing restaurants. And anyway, I just thought like the tone of the interview was great. Eli's style was great. It was really sweet. And so there it was. So one of many favorites from Winter Spring 2018 for me.
Love it. Hannah?
Well, I think Margaret and I have to duke out who's gonna. I'm doing it.
Go
this
ahead.
Is a group
so
favorite.
Go ahead.
It's hard because it's hard to pick. It's really hard to pick. The season has been incredible, but there's something very special about being physically present while something is going on. And if anyone listening has not listened to our coverage from Charleston Wine and Food, you should pretty much just, once this show is over, drop everything.
No, just turn it off.
Just stop. Just coming off mid-sentence and listen to it because Kat put together some really amazing panels, bringing together some of the most influential voices in the Southern food scene, and then also some voices that you really won't have heard anywhere else but have incredible things to say. And so there were several different panels about traditional Southern food ways. One that really stuck in my mind and being in the tent or in the teepee while it was going on was amazing, especially as like a lifelong Yankee who's never lived outside of New York, to be able to like really dig into something like cane syrup, which is what this panel was about.
Raising Cane.
Raising Cane. Oh. You can search that at heritageradionetwork.org to listen to the panel. Okay, so Kat, help me. So Sean Brock,
Glenn Roberts, Doc Phil Thomas, and Jerome Dixon.
That's right. And so they're all talking about Sapelo Island cane syrup, and just the rich history and how Doc Phil and Jerome are working really hard to preserve this traditional method, and also just this amazing ecosystem on Sapelo Island, and they're amazing sound bites. Sean Brock describes Sapelo Island cane syrup as having a new mommy flavor, which, if that's not intriguing, I don't know what is. I did not grow up with cane syrup being part of my life, and I am excited that it is now a part of my life. So that was one of my favorite moments from the season, but very hard to choose.
Well, thank you. And also, I grew up eating cane syrup, and after hearing him describe how he tastes it, it now tastes different to me.
Yeah.
So it was like I learned something.
That's amazing.
I didn't expect to like come away like with big realizations in that panel, but it was surprising and yeah.
You have a different taste perspective now.
I really do. And it was cool to like taste. What is it? Is this a reference? This song a reference that I'm not getting?
I don't get it.
Never mind.
All right. Missed opportunity. Margaret, what was your favorite episode?
Well, to sort of piggyback on Hannah's really lovely explanation of Charleston, you were there. You were able to physically sit and listen to these panels and be a part of that experience and really feel it and smell it and taste things. I, however, was on the other end in rainy, awful sort of end of winter New York. But I felt transported listening to it.
That's lovely.
That's really how I felt. Yeah. Yeah. Well done. No, but I, Kat, I thought your hosting was incredible. Katie, you were just dynamic. The music was outstanding.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, it was really great. One of my favorite panels though, out of that whole weekend actually was, I mean, the cane sugar was incredible, but I loved listening to, it was actually at the very end on, well, no, it was end of the day on Friday. It was Jessica B. Harris.
Mm. Oh my gosh.
The Cherry Bob, Clancy, Miller and, Sarah Franklin.
Yes.
And I was sitting in my living room. I had it on my speakers, super loud. I was cooking, like banging pots and pans, but I had to put things down because number one, Jessica, Dr. Harris's voice is just divine.
Yes.
I just absolutely loved that panel, and I'm sure that you could probably speak to a little bit more than I could, but that was just really something that I made me think that this is the only place that you could hear Heritage Radio Network is the only place that you could hear a discussion like that. You wouldn't, maybe you might not be able to hear it at length or in that sort of style anywhere else. And I really thought that like, this is why HRN is so important. I just thought that panel was,
can I
swear on this show?
Yes, you can.
It was fucking outstanding.
Yeah. I also want to point out Kat's amazing social media because HRN Instagram is also, I think, the only place in the universe you could catch Dr. Jessica B. Harris and Sarah Franklin and the lovely Clancy Miller singing Aretha Franklin after the panel.
Oh, my God.
Also.
Oh,
really? So, yeah. Pretty killer.
Well done, Kat.
I mean, also credit to David for playing the song.
Yeah. Yes.
He knew exactly what music was going to get them going.
that was sort of my favorite part of this whole year, and I started on November 1st at HRN. The best thing that I think I'll do sort of a secondary like favorite is
the first HRN happy hour that I ever attended. And it was November 16th or something like that. Maybe we had switched it because of Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And Emmy Roth, Jesus, were here.
Oh, wow. That was
and
real great.
Like that was, but that was my first taste of what HRN and what this team sort of does on a daily basis. And everybody was here. Everyone.
Yeah.
Like even like Vitor and David were here. Like everybody was here in the room and it was cold and it was dark and
did
it
we
was,
have pie that was
we
that
had
the
Oroshers pie. We had ice cream, we had delicious cheese,
we had a Amaro that
Margaret, I've got a surprise for you. What? If you turn to your left and open up that fridge, guess what you're gonna find.
Yay, cheese. But it was just that was just another one of my favorite things out of this entire, I would say, like academic year, if you will. Like it was a really wonderful way to kind of start out my time with you guys, but also really give me a glimpse into, and also the listeners into, like how you operate and how you describe your love of food and how that drives you in the station. So that was a really, that was a big highlight for me out of the whole year.
That was a really great show.
Hearing you describe that just made me have that like,
that pie
like
was
Christmas
I'm getting
feeling.
A little like misty-eyed right now.
Aww. Feels like a long time ago, but really,
I know.
It's only a few months. We've got a lot done.
I just ate that cheese so quickly that it was like...
And there is one
guys,
like...
Guys, I'm serious. Open up the fridge. There's
Jordan,
cheese in there.
Jordan is from Vermont, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She said something like, there's an expression in Vermont that like... What, oh, say it. Katie knows it. Or you know it.
Apple pie without the cheddar is like a...
Oh, hug without a
sweater.
No,
sweater.
It's something.
I don't think that's it, guys.
No, there's, but it's similar.
Wait, no, I hold on.
It's like,
oh, it's, so it's
oh, no,
apple pie without the cheese. Yeah, like a hug
without
the squeeze.
I love that.
That's the cutest thing I've ever heard.
A hug without a sweater is fine.
That one's for you, Neil.
Yeah, to my sweater twin. What up?
Kat, what about you?
I have a few. Maybe the Roberta's radio episode where Eric called me out for being a bad bartender.
He didn't say you were a bad bartender. He just said you were an over-serving bartender.
He said, that's good. He said that's good. Bad.
Good, and they were debating whether or not that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I made it, guys. I made it.
You definitely over-served
them,
though.
I was on Roberta's radio.
I mean,
good
whose
for
fault
you.
Is that really?
Breaking news. Kat Johnson was on Roberta's radio on heritageradionetwork.punk.
It was a big accomplishment for me.
.punk.
In all seriousness, I really enjoyed our show with... Brian and okay, I'm blanking on their names now. It was the Great British Baking Show.
That Brian, was when I had the flu.
Yeah.
Wait.
I feel so bad. Oh so bad. It was with
not
Ed.
Prepared. That was a good one.
Ed Kimber and Brian.
I got it.
Hart.
Yes.
They were amazing.
Brian Hart Hoffman.
We had so much fun with them.
That was a good one.
You guys, I was seriously at
time,
home
but...
crying because I had the flu, and you guys
you
got
so
to do
sick.
Great British Bake Off.
Also, those
here.
Scones.
Yeah. I really liked it because, I mean, we knew they were going to bring some treats, and it's always great when our guests bring treats. Love it. But I also
highly encourage.
Note to future guests.
By the way, don't come on the show if you're not going to bring treats.
Yeah, like just
stay home.
I didn't learn until like that day when they showed up that Brian Hart Hoffman is from Birmingham. And I was like, fellow Alabamian. Like, it was very exciting. Bama. And then we ran into them like a few weeks later in Charleston for Charleston Wine and Food. And I think Brian has like become one of my favorite people lately. He's great. And he has a very interesting life story. He was a flight attendant for Alaska Airlines and was based in Anchorage. So I was like, everyone tells me it's a big change to be from Alabama and live in New York City. But to be from Alabama and live in Anchorage as a flight attendant, that's a big change. That's a really big change.
And then to start a baking magazine, that is like the most beautiful, delicious thing I've ever seen in my life.
I love it. And I made some cinnamon rolls, classic cinnamon rolls from their, they have a special issue and also a second volume of their cookbook out. And the classic cinnamon roll recipe is in both of those. And it was time consuming to like let the dough proof and everything, but they turned out so incredible. So
awesome.
I'm like I said, I'm trying to get more into baking.
And you didn't bring us any.
I know it was on a weekend and you know, Will, he just
he
ate all of them. I mean, I helped, but
I think this whole year has been pretty awesome.
We're definitely off to a great start in 2018.
Totally.
And I just have to interject, not related to HRN, but because you said flight attendant, I feel it's very important for us to give a tip of the hat to Tammy Jo Schultz, pilot from Southwest Airlines, who last week landed the plane whose engine exploded and is just a general
badass.
Yeah,
women,
one of the first female fighter pilots.
Awesome.
And like, just was
she was told no
cool
like so many times in her career, and she just kept pushing. Mm-hmm. And she's just amazing.
And then she was like, "Oh, don't worry, I'm just gonna save like hundreds of people's lives." Don't
also,
worry about it.
Didn't she go to the Air Force Academy? That's even harder for a woman to get into.
Well, she got into it when like they weren't letting women in.
Yeah, like that's like one of that is actually the hardest service academy to get into, and as a woman to get into that is like kind of a feat.
Yeah,
so Tammy, if you're listening, come have a drink with us. We'd love to buy you a beer and
we
have
won't,
some cheese with you.
We won't serve you airline food.
Yes.
I feel like she could give us really good tips on like stress management. Like that's something I'm always like, when your job is that high pressure, I'm like, okay, I get overwhelmed by things like, you know, my phone ringing and
I can't find the three whole punch and I'm freaking out.
There's food in my fridge that I'm not going to have time to eat this week. Like, these are the things that are stressing me out, and I would just love to hear some techniques.
Stress management, yeah. Well, David, do you have any favorite episodes of the year? Any show?
No, I know better than to say anything because I engineer most of them, so I don't want to piss anybody off.
David is Switzerland?
Yeah.
Wow.
Sure. You sure?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, you could just say it's us.
Switzerland. Yeah, you could say, what's your favorite HR and happy hour?
Oh, it's this one.
Oh.
Aww.
Right here, right now.
No, I don't know. I've enjoyed all the HR and happy hours this season. I think it's been nice to get everybody on staff and the intern team all in a room together. It's nice when we get to have our voice go out on the airwaves. You know, we have so many great hosts and so many great topics that we talk about on the network, but I think it's really special when all of us get to express our point of view. So, yeah.
What you're saying is you need to be heard more.
Absolutely.
I agree. The world needs to hear more Dave Tatchford.
The world needs more DJ Dave.
No, somehow I doubt that.
Well,
Dave's raves.
Dave's. Oh,
it'll be my daily complaint.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Oh, no.
On that note, I think we should
block that. Can you block a podcast? Just kidding.
I think we should.
You literally can.
Unfollow? Unsubscribe.
Yeah, I'm the one who controls the website, so I guess I could do that.
Oh, wow.
Guess how long you'll keep controlling that website for.
Oh, guess what? Just changed the passwords.
Oh.
Sorry.
Is this a coup?
Guys.
No, Dave, I was one of the first people to review your podcast on iTunes, and I gave it 5 stars.
What's that called again?
What's the story? Should please subscribe and review.
Yeah, if you're interested in fiction and storytelling and humor.
It's a podcast about Dave's love of the band Oasis.
No.
Yes.
No, it's not.
Yes.
What's the story?
All right, let's take a break and when we come back.
WTSpodcast.com.
We're going to come back and we're going to do trivia about garlic because today is National Garlic Day. Be right back.
WTSpodcast.com.
Be right back. If I come into a party hitting raps like this, all you superficial rappers will cease to exist. If I come into a party hitting raps like this, all you superficial rappers will cease to exist. If I come into a party hitting raps like this, all you superficial rappers will cease to exist. If I come into a party hitting raps like this, all you superficial rappers will cease to exist. We'll be right back.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Thank you, Roberta's. All right, we're back. I'm Kat. I'm here with Katie, Hannah, and Margaret.
Yo.
And me.
And David.
And Gruyere.
And cheese.
And now.
I'm
and
literally now. Cutting the cheese right now.
Oh,
Hannah. Excuse you.
All right, right now we're going to play trivia, and Margaret is going to be our trivia master. Oh, also shout out to our intern, ooh, Sarah good. Strong, who wrote the trivia today, and yesterday it's was her birthday.
Today is her birthday. Birthday.
Happy birthday, Happy Sarah. Birthday, Sarah.
Yeah. Woo. All right.
All right, are you all ready?
Sorry, Hannah just threw a knife. It's all good.
It's all fine, guys.
I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
I'm so ready. Margaret has to pour beer first. A
little bit of beer. All right. You guys ready? Today is National Garlic Day. And we bet you didn't know that.
The day of my people.
We bet you didn't know that, David.
The day of Tadaschore's people.
Tadaschore. Hey. But now, I'm just reading this out loud for the first time.
That's okay.
Bear with me. Profesh. But now you probably want to pick up some ingredients for garlic bread on the way home. So we thought we'd give you some fun facts about our favorite allium. Ooh, it is an allium because it's a bulb. By the way of trivia.
Keep it together.
Alliums are one of my favorite flowers. They're beautiful. Actually, if you ever see an allium, large sort of purple balls.
They're like 4 to 6 feet high.
Yeah, that's actually part of the garlic family. Okay.
Can you eat those, the flowers?
Yeah, I think so.
I love chive blossoms. I think they're the unappreciated edible flower.
They are delicious. Okay, garlic has a lengthy history dating back 6,000 years. That's crazy. To what part of the world is garlic indigenous?
It's multiple choice.
Yeah, it's a multiple choice. A, Northern Africa. B, Eastern Europe, C, Central Asia, or D, South America.
I want to say A, Northern Africa.
TikTok.
I'm like really stuck between Eastern Europe and Northern Africa because of the vampire myth.
Ooh. Interesting theory.
That's pretty recent though, right?
I don't know.
I also feel like
Asia could be right.
What was the Asia? Was it what region of Asia?
I'll read them off again. Ready? All right. A, Northern Africa, B, Eastern Europe, C, Central Asia.
Central Asia. Mm-hmm.
D, South America.
Central Asia is like...
Where is indigenous? Where does garlic come from?
I feel like it's Northern Africa.
Yeah.
Are we pretty sure that it's not Latin American?
I don't
Could be.
Think so.
David, let's get some music.
Because I feel like...
No, here. That'll stress me out.
I feel like garlic was a part of like European culture before they like destroyed South America.
Yeah, and I don't think garlic led to the vampire myth. That was like Porphyria that spawned that. Blood disorder.
We don't know where we're landing.
Maybe North Africa? That's the only one we haven't like had a reason.
We can all pick different answers too.
All right. I'm going to give you.
Are we all on the same team here?
I don't know.
I say North Africa.
In life, yes.
Yeah, let's go with North Africa.
Okay. Ready?
Don't go wrong.
C, Central Asia.
Oh, man. Really? That's the one that I was like, I feel like this is a trick question.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think it's Central Asia.
But how interesting is that?
That is so very wait, interesting.
What counts
so it probably
Central
came
Asia?
Along the Silk Road.
Mm. Yeah.
And went through, like pasta, went to Italy. So, David, unfortunately, it's not your people's bulb.
Do you guys watch Marco Polo on Netflix?
No. I tried.
It's pretty violent, but if you, yeah. It's,
I used
it's
to play that game when we would swim.
Pretty much the same.
Yeah, same thing.
Okay, ready? Number two. Name two out of the five countries that produce the most garlic.
Ooh.
Two out of the five.
A, China.
Oh, this is like 50-50. Okay,
wait, yeah, how does...
This is really... Because actually this, there's... There's no answer here.
Are you sure you want to read us these the choices? There's no answer.
There's nothing highlighted, so I'm sorry. Let's skip this question.
Okay, great.
Can we speculate?
China.
I bet the U.S. is on there.
And
I can Google it. We'll come back to it.
Well, I can give you a hint for the number one country that produces the most garlic.
Brazil.
Okay. Spain?
What's the country that has the biggest population of people in the whole world?
India.
China.
Yes. Mm. Oh. That's the number one country that produces the most garlic. Number two, I don't know. There's no answer here.
China. How did you just know number one like that?
Because there's a number one next to it.
Oh, so it lists in the top five.
Okay, great work, everybody.
Okay, what's the next question?
This is a little confusing. Okay, number three. Which one of these terms has not been used as a nickname for garlic?
Ooh, a trick question.
A, Brooklyn Vanilla.
What? That's it.
That one.
B, Mediterranean Medicine. C, Italian Perfume. Or D, Stinking Rose.
Brooklyn vanilla is bullshit.
which one of these terms has not been used? But
like,
as
I feel
a
like Brooklyn Vanilla is so crazy that it probably is true.
Well, it's really hard to prove.
Can you read
negative?
Them all again?
Yeah. Brooklyn Vanilla.
We're gonna go with Mediterranean medicine.
I bet it's that.
Italian perfume.
That's kind of racist, isn't it?
Mediterranean medicine.
Whoa.
Italian perfume.
No.
It depends if you think garlic smells good or not. I guess
it depends whether you have any respect for me or not.
I mean, it's slightly racist, but it's probably archaic.
Yeah, true.
And stinking rose.
I think we can just say it's culturally insensitive.
I think it's Mediterranean medicine is the answer to this question because, like...
I think you're right.
Somebody obviously wrote Brooklyn Vanilla.
Yeah, it's too vague. That's too obvious.
Mediterranean medicine's too vague. What is it?
Okay, what's the final answer?
Mediterranean medicine.
You are correct.
Yes!
Brooklyn Vanilla.
It's I know that because that... I have heard that term in my family. Yeah, and Italian perfume too.
Long Island.
Yeah.
Long Island.
Anyway. All right, number four. Which major U.S. city was named for a Native American word for garlic?
Huh.
Do we have choices?
I don't know why, but the word Albuquerque just came into my head.
You have to guess this one, okay. And I'll give you the answer.
A major U.S. city
that's
named for the Native American word
for garlic.
But didn't we just say that garlic is not indigenous to the...
It's not.
How does that work?
Well, it doesn't mean it didn't
come here.
Get here a long time ago.
Okay. It came over humans the Bering Strait.
That's a really good question, Hannah.
There's a lot of history of garlic that we don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Could have gone anyway.
Major U.S. city named for the... Okay, so would it...
Do we have choices?
No, we don't.
Oh, shit.
You just have to guess.
Albuquerque's an interesting idea.
This is kind of a little nutty.
How big of a city is it?
I'll give you a hint. It's a very large Midwestern city.
Oof.
I just Googled it, so I know what it is. I'm not going to say it.
Very large Midwestern city.
Very large Midwestern city.
Chicago.
You are correct.
What? That is so surprising.
Named after the wild garlic that grew around Lake Michigan called Chicha Gayua.
Wow.
That's
awesome.
Is Chicago really the Midwest?
Yeah.
I would say so.
Yeah.
Fully the Midwest.
Yeah, it's totally completely. Midwest.
Why?
Did you think it was the East Coast?
No, I just thought it was like, I don't know.
What?
I think I'm thinking of the West. Yeah, okay.
Midwest. I'm going to hang a map in the studio.
Yes, thank you.
Number five. In what month is the Gilroy Garlic Festival held in Gillett or Guillé, California, the self-proclaimed garlic capital of the world? In what month is there a garlic festival in California?
I'm going to guess
is there
October.
A month that starts with G so we can stick with the alliteration?
Mm. Well, there's also a garlic festival in the Hudson Valley in Saugerties, which is awesome. They have garlic ice cream. Y'all should check it out.
Ooh, and garlic pickles.
Mm, yeah,
garlic
ice cream. It's the best thing ever. And I feel like it's in the fall?
I'm going to say like
September, October?
That's like garlic harvest time. Yeah, so I'm going to assume that the California one is also around garlic harvest time.
Mm.
But they have a different
I would say it's probably...
Think about California
March
and their
is like garlic
seasons.
Planting time.
January.
Mm.
June.
Another J.
July.
Yay!
Yeah.
That's right. Number six. In what country was the World Garlic Eating Competition held in 2013?
That's got to be Italy.
And in 2014.
Oh.
The World Garlic Eating Competition.
Where you just like chow on raw
China.
Garlic?
I'm going to say I think China.
Oh, I was good. I was going Italy.
Okay, so we have China, Italy, Or
Greece?
China.
No, Italy.
Spain.
All right. The final answer is... The real answer is England.
Ew.
Isn't that
shocking.
That is interesting.
Is that bizarre?
Were never going to get that.
It's garlic.
All right, seven. What is the scallion-like neck of some types of garlic called? That little bit of that thing that comes out of the garlic.
Yeah, it's the scape.
Is that your final answer?
Sure, yeah. I don't know.
That's you what are it correct.
Is. Wow,
scape, and you can
and garlic
eat
scapes
that.
Are in season right now.
Some people say
in a few months. Well, it depends. Like it's right now. It's like, yeah.
Some people say that some places, like when your garlic perhaps. Starts sprouting. That it's bad, but like you can actually take that and it's really lovely if you mince it up and mm-hmm. put it in in your if you saute it up. It's
I love
so
garlic.
Good.
I love garlic too.
I can no longer digest garlic.
Oh,
it's
fire.
Yeah, it sucks.
That sucks. All right, true or false?
Thanks, David.
Wow. Slide trombones.
I feel for you.
True or false? Garlic is a leech repellent.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Well, but it's like. Kind of water soluble, and leeches are in the water. Oh, yeah.
That's a fair point. What if you're just
it's
wading
probably
through
not,
the swamp?
I might right, say Dana yes, Scully. But not like an effective one.
True or
Luke man.
True? It's true leech me. Repellent.
True no? repellent, but not effective.
All right, well, no actually, idea. It's false. Actually, garlic attracts leeches.
Oh no!
Whoa!
Yikes!
Yeah,
they're coming.
Have you ever got? Have you guys no ever had a why. Leech on you?
Yes, yes I have had
nope.
probably hundreds. It's.
Ugh.
I grew up, had so we once. Moved to Maine when I was a kid and I didn't know that a leech was a thing and I went to summer camp and I ooh, got one on
freshwater
me.
Freshwater
and like, oh my God, like
you
I
just thought
I,
it was your buddy?
I thought it was mud and it wouldn't like wipe off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're
and,
real creepy.
And like if I just like really ripped it off and then I had like, it was bad. Yeah. I had like a big wound.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, my friend, like my best friend growing up, she lived above this pond and we would go swimming and there were just like a zillion leeches.
You know,
but now I know how to get rid of them.
Is this why you were so averse to the worm episode?
Don't
of the
talk about that.
Do you guys,
I told you never to speak that of that updated? Again.
Do you guys know what the nickname for leeches are?
No.
Mediterranean medicine.
Oh snap.
No, that's medieval medicine.
Just kidding.
That was pretty good though. Thank all right.
You. Oh, God. Okay, yeah, we got to talk about something else. Let's get back
question.
To garlic.
Fluke okay,
man.
What type
fluke
of
man.
Metal shh, can help beer. Remove the smell of garlic from your hands?
I know.
Okay.
What was the question?
What type of metal can help remove the smell of garlic
yeah.
from your hands?
Aluminum?
I know this one. No.
Copper.
Tick.
I know it. Can I say it?
Tick. Do it.
Yes.
Stainless steel.
Yay, you win.
Ooh.
Okay.
Wait, what does that mean? So you like, if you would like rub up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like
sometimes they have those
they have
a little
like
thing. Stones.
Yeah, they
you
have this thing that
Bath and Beyond.
Looks like a bar soap, but it's made of stainless steel, and you just like rub your hands on it. Whoa. But also, you can buy this thing. I forget who makes it right now because I am a little bit brain dead at the end of the season. But it's like a garlic press, but it's a garlic rocker. And it's a famous, it's not a Lessie,
oh, yeah.
but it's
I
one
know
of
what you're
those.
Talking about.
Yeah. And you, you just like press down and it's essentially like a little grid that garlic presses for you. But that it happens to be made of stainless steel. So if you use that, then you inherently have garlic smell on your hands. But then when you wash your hands, you just use water and that thing. And
so
it
cool.
really works.
I didn't know that.
But what if you want to smell
I
like
thought
garlic?
It was,
then you rub garlic
what if you
all
want
over
Italian
yourself
perfume?
And stay far away from stainless steel.
What if you want to rub that Italian perfume all
over? Do it.
Oh, do it.
I feel like we're going to get some nasty grams.
I don't care.
Rub that Italian perfume all over you.
I never thought that, I thought that was just like a fake thing that like was a, you know, it was like snake oil, Bath and Beyond. You know
no, it
mean?
Really works.
Snake oil.
Do they sell snake oil at Bed Bath & Beyond?
It's just like fake. You know what I mean?
No, I think you can only get this from snake oil sales.
I think like that this is like an interesting food entrepreneur idea of like somebody make a product called snake oil. We'll talk about it.
Gross. You can all come right. on our show.
Last question you guys. Oh my God, there's a snake in the studio. Snakes are actually an omen for good. Like shedding skin, change is going ooh. To happen.
Margaret is so wise. But we all knew that.
If
we
your did. Garlic has sprouted, will its flavor be stronger or weaker?
Weaker.
David, let's get some music for this one. Let's talk it out.
Weaker.
Okay, it gets weaker, yeah. It's
I think weaker. And also, like, the sugars are getting used up. So it'll be less sticky sweet.
Okay, so you say agreed. Weaker.
We're all going with that.
Well, it depends what you mean by flavor, but yeah. It does get kind of like a
will
little...
Will the flavor be stronger
it can taste
or
a little
weaker?
Like metallic.
Yeah, isn't that subjective, though?
That's, I would say, like, flavor, garlic flavor, like how garlicky.
It's garlicness.
Yeah. Because that can be pretty.
I'm not sure then, because I think the biggest change is the sugar that gets used up to make the sprout. And I don't know if the lack of sugar makes it more garlicky or less garlicky. What do you think?
So.
I feel like it, I feel like the flavor is less garlicky. All
right. Mm. Final answer?
Less.
So stronger or weaker?
Weaker.
All right. Final answer is, you are correct, weaker. It will have, and it will have lost some of its many health benefits.
Mm. But it's still safe to eat.
Yes.
People are like worried that if it sprouts, it's not safe to eat. Can I give a plug about garlic?
Yeah. and then I have a fun fact.
Okay. My plug about garlic is there is a really, really, really great short documentary by Les Blank called Garlic is as Good as 10 Mothers. And it's about Alice Waters used to do garlic dinners in like the 70s or 80s. I'm not sure. It's been a while. But it's really, really good because she used to like the entire tasting menu involved garlic in every single course. And one course was just literally a head of roasted garlic.
Oh, yeah.
And the like documentary talks about that. And it talks about people who are like obsessed with garlic. And it's really, really, really good. And you should find it and watch it.
Cool.
Yeah.
On it.
I'm going to watch that. All right. Fun fact. The fear of garlic is called allium phobia.
I don't have that.
Yeah. Okay. But I didn't come up with that. It was here on the paper.
But does snake oil cure allium phobia?
It does, probably. Actually. You can get it at Bed Bath & Beyond.
I mean, I don't know if we'll have enough time to get there, but you know. Yeah, sorry.
That was really fun trivia.
Old school.
That was really good.
I like that.
I'm excited about eating something really garlicky tonight.
Yes. Ooh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure they have garlic on pizza here. Yeah.
So good. Mm.
I might go home and make some olio olio pasta.
Yeah, that sounds good.
I have some actually. Just like shout out to our wonderful sponsor Gustiamo, because I have some pretty legit spaghetti from Gustiamo in my pantry right now.
Yes, sounds so good.
And so I might do some aglio and olio pasta.
Garlic it up. All right, so this is the end of our season. We are taking a break next week, but we are going to be back a week early on May 3rd. Our guests are going to be...
Right?
We are. It's on the calendar. Check it out.
Okay.
Our guests are going to be very, very, very special. They are our last class of Saxelby Radio Scholars. There are five of them. One graduated from high school last year, Nicole. So we're going to see what she's up to out of high school, what she's doing with her life. And then our other four are about to graduate from high school, and they have a lot of exciting news to share about what they've done with their senior year and what they're going to be doing after they graduate high school. So we're super excited to have them back in the studio. And then on May 10th,
I also want to say that we are going to have some exciting news on that.
Yes, we will.
As well.
Stay tuned. And
we are.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What is it?
Suspense.
We'll tell
suspense.
You next week.
You tell me after
tune
the show?
In. No. Tune in.
And on
you already know it.
May 10th, our guests are going to be Bill Addison and Priya Krishna. Two food writers who are like my favorite. So that's really, really exciting. And that's all for our season. Thanks again to Peter Reinhardt for calling in today to tell us about the second annual International Symposium on Bread in Charlotte. We're super excited to be covering that again. Thanks to Katie.
Thank you, Kat.
Hannah.
Thanks,
Margaret.
Kat. Thank you.
David.
Thank you, Roberta's.
Thank you, Roberta's. All right.
Thanks to everybody who's been part of the remarkable season and our whole class of interns who've all been ridiculously
scripts,
amazing.
Hanging out.
Appreciations to our sponsors, underwriters, and all of the members. Yes. And, of course, you, the listener.
Anyway. Oh.
That's the perfect way to end it. See you in 2 weeks.
Also,
thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. and we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
HRN Happy Hour is powered by Simplecast. Simplecast is a popular hosting and analytics platform that allows podcasters to easily host and publish to apps like Apple Podcasts. If you have a podcast or are looking to create your very first, check it out. Try it for free and save half off your first 3 months at simplecast.com/heritage.